It's time for the Canadian Baseball Network Podcast with your host, Dustin Saraceni.
Welcome back to another edition of the Canadian Baseball Network Podcast. As the World Baseball Classic rolls around, we thought it would only be fitting to have the Saskatchewan product to help guide Team Canada to a gold medal over the United States during the 2011 and 2015 Pan Am Games on the show. That, of course, is Andrew Albers, who will also be representing the red and white for the second time at the WBC next month. Andrew, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Thanks for having
me. Of course. And Andrew, before we get into the tournament, I'd kind of like to share your story because it is an interesting one, to say the least. It's one that started in a small town just outside of Saskatoon in North Battleford. From the Battleford, you traveled to Kentucky for college, where you played in 81 games, fifth most in Wildcats history, earning 20 wins, fourth most in Wildcats history, accumulating to a tremendous college career for you. And obviously after that, you were drafted by San Diego, but from there, it didn't really go as planned. After Tommy John surgery, you found yourself in Quebec City playing independent ball before living out your dream in 2013 with the Twins.
Bouncer toward the hole. Florimone ends it. A brilliant two-hit shutout for Andrew Albers.
Unbelievable smiles all around.
But that was kind of just the beginning for you. So can you shed some light on not only your journey in the big leagues, but what would you say to a player or a person struggling with injury or self-doubt? Yeah, and you talk about luck, you talk about taking advantage of opportunities, and you definitely made your own opportunities. Trying to get exposure and be seen by the right people is a difficult task, and you did a lot of driving as you tried to do exactly that a few years ago. So before signing in Minnesota, you drove a total of 127 hours and then some on the road while traveling and working out for various clubs. What made you keep going, and how did your 2004 Buick hold up?
it was definitely a lot of travel for me. It was something where I spent this season. It was my first season coming off of Tommy John when I was in Quebec, and I wasn't sure how my elbow would respond, but it responded really well, and I had a really good season. And certainly baseball has always been a passion of mine, and it was something where I just wanted to know how far I could take it. You know, I wasn't sure what level I could play. I thought at that point in time, you know, I could be competitive at Double A. I wasn't sure. Once you get to that point, you always have a chance. But I wasn't sure if I could compete at AAA or in the big league. But I really wanted to find out. And that spring, you know, we talked about all the driving and all those things. And, yeah, it was definitely a lot of driving. I drove down to some trials in Arizona. And from there, I had to drive over to Fort Myers. And even before that, I'd flown to Lexington and back to try to get ready. And it was something where, you know, I didn't want to be able to, or I didn't want to have to look at myself in the mirror 10 years later and ask myself if there was something else I could have done. To get that opportunity. If I was going to do it, I wanted to be all in, and I had to jump all in and give it my best effort so that even if it didn't work out, you know, I could live with myself, really, and I could look myself in the mirror and say, hey, I did everything that I could to get an opportunity. It didn't work out. You know, that I could live with. But the question of what if I would have done this or what if I would have done that, that one would have been tough to swallow. Certainly the way it worked out, you know, obviously really glad that I did it the way I did. It certainly paid off. But at the same time, and again, so thankful to the Twins organization for giving me that opportunity, because pretty much everybody else passed on me and they gave me a shot, and so thankful to them for allowing me to do that. But again, at the same time, sometimes you gotta try to make things happen, and that was certainly a point of instance for me. I don't even know if I would have gotten that signed with the Twins if I hadn't offered to drive over to Fort Myers from Arizona. And you know, sometimes you gotta take a chance. And again, for me, that spring, I was all in. I was going to give it one more shot. If it didn't work out that year, you know, maybe go play in Quebec one more summer, but that may have been it. Mm-hmm. Again, it was one of those things that it kind of put life in perspective, and certainly changed my view on not just baseball, but life in general, and helped me later on down the road when you encountered struggles or things weren't necessarily going that way. You can always reach back to those experiences and lean back on what you've learned from them.
Yeah, and Andrew, as we talk about this journey of yours, one that has seen you bounce in and out of independent ball as soon as last season with Lancaster, but each time you're able to rebound, obviously most recently being signed by the Braves organization, was it a case of just taking one step back to move two steps forward for you?
Well, you know, unfortunately in 2015 I didn't have as good of a season as I would have liked, so I went and played some winter ball, and
yeah.
Again, it was hurting a little bit, but come winter ball season, felt a lot better. I had to make some adjustments to my off-season workout routine and as well as my in-season workout routine. You know, you start getting a little older and the body doesn't recover quite as quick anymore, so I had to make some minor adjustments there, and the arm started feeling better, and I felt like I could still compete. And, you know, I went down and played some winter ball, and it went well. And again, even though I had a really poor second half of 2015, and that was coming off a not very good year in 2014, so I couldn't really blame Hughes for not wanting to give me a chance. You know, it was like I said, I had no one to blame but myself. So went in, played the winter ball, had a good season. I was fortunate that a couple of the Twins coaches from their minor league system were on my team there, so they saw me pitch there, and they had a few injuries. So again, you know, you talked about kind of getting lucky and catching a break, and that was kind of another one of the breaks that I caught last year. Was, you know, the Twins had a couple injuries to some starters, and they needed a starter, and I threw well in my one game in Lancaster, and so they got me out of there real quick, and I got to start in AAA again, and you know, had a pretty decent season. So that kind of came around full circle and gave me an opportunity this year with the Braves, and really looking forward to another chance, another opportunity with a new organization, and going over there and proving that I can still compete at a high level, and hopefully, you know, if I can do my job and do what I expect myself to do, maybe get another opportunity at the big league level.
Yeah, and as you look back, was it more difficult to make it back to the majors following your initial injury after a brief stint in Korea or last year?
Oh, shoot, you know, I don't know. It's always hard. It's hard to get there. It's even harder to stay there. That's kind of what they say. And, you know, unfortunately, I haven't been able to stick yet. You know, you never know what the future holds. But I haven't quite gotten to that point. You know, I've had a couple cups of coffee, and they've been great, and I've been very thankful for those opportunities. Now it's about trying to find a way to hopefully stick somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's never an easy journey. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, some guys might have it a little bit easier than others, but everybody faces struggles, and everybody faces trials that they have to overcome and challenges that they have to overcome to get there. And it's not a smooth road for anybody. So
right.
Everybody goes through that, and you know, I feel like I've had my share, but again, there are plenty of guys that have had a lot more than I have too. So it's always a fun journey. I think you have to be able to take time to journey part of it, because there's some long days in the minor leagues. That's a long season there, so if you don't enjoy what you're doing, it's going to be a long year.
And Andrew, before we get into Canada baseball, what are your quick thoughts on the Atlanta Braves organization and trying to reach the MLB again?
Yeah, I think it was a good fit for me. They're a really young organization. They have a lot of talent coming up in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
That might be maybe a year or two away. You know, there's something where they're rebuilding a little bit. They had a really good second half last year. I think they played over 500 baseball in the second half. They went out and signed some veteran arms, so there's going to be some veteran leadership in that clubhouse and some guys that can heat up some innings. You know, and you know, for me, my role is going to be hopefully to start in AAA and give some leadership there to those young guys that are trying to work their way up. And you know, if somebody goes down at the big league level where they need someone to fill in, hopefully I'm the guy pitching well enough at that point in time to get an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the goal right now. Again, I felt like it was a good fit. I felt like it was one where if I go and prove that I can still compete at a high level, that I might have an opportunity to pitch at the next level, at the MLB level. So, you know, that's kind of all I can ask for at this moment, and I'm certainly looking forward to getting started with them.
And an old line from Citi Field, do you think pitchers will try and get in the food line before Bartolo Colon?
Well, I'm sure they treat those guys pretty well, so I'm pretty sure they'll get some food left. But, you know, you can joke about that guy all you want. He's 43 and still pitching in the big leagues at a high level. So.
Yep.
He's doing something right. I can't really say much about that, but because that guy, there aren't many guys that can do what he's done, and for as long as he's done it. So that's pretty impressive. He's got to be doing something right.
Pitching well and hitting bombs as well. Obviously, he is doing something right.
Yeah, exactly.
And as we move forward, how much did wearing the Maple Leaf and putting on that Team Canada jersey help your career, especially early on? And how have you kind of drawn from these experiences at the big league level?
You know, it allowed me to relax as far as getting the opportunity
Yeah.
And he creates such a tremendous environment for the guys to go play that you really want to go play every opportunity that you get. It's always an enjoyable experience. We have a great group of guys that go play. You know, when guys put the put that jersey on, egos go out the window, and it's all about winning. And it's a lot of fun to go back to that because the minor leagues aren't always like that. It's a very selfish environment in the minors because you're always competing even against your teammates for the same job. So that's kind of a different dynamic, whereas you go and you play for Team Canada, and it's one team. Nobody cares who does what as long as it gets done and you get a W at the end of the day. So that's a lot of fun going in there. I've been fortunate enough to get to play on that team a few times and have gotten to pitch in some big games. And I was fortunate enough to get to pitch in the Pan Am Final in 2011 or 12. And, you know, that was probably the most nervous I'd ever been for a game. And then when I went up to the big leagues, I remember thinking for my debut, well, you know what, if I lose this game, it's not really a big deal. The Twins are out of the race at the moment. It's like, okay, well, we just have another loss, whatever.
Right.
In the Pan Am, it's like, okay, Pan Am Gold Medal Final. We lose this game, and it's our first final in team history. You know, instead of the gold, instead of winning it all, we get silver. So, you know, it allowed me to put things into perspective, making my big league debut. I think that allowed me to relax a little bit and go out there and enjoy the moment, and luckily it went pretty well for me.
Yeah, it was 2011, the gold, and then you helped as well in 2015. And obviously the World Baseball Classic is something to look forward to. And what does it kind of mean to you to share this upcoming experience with not only Canadian greats like a Pete Orr, Justin Morneau, but also a Saskatchewan guy and Dustin Malkin?
Yeah, I was extremely happy for Molly last year. He got to make his debut in the bigs. And you talk about a guy who's had a tough journey, and he's kind of the epitome of perseverance. That's a guy that played in the minors for about 10 years and finally got an opportunity last year, and he's put together some really good seasons where it just, you know, hasn't caught that break. And for him to finally get it last year after toiling away in the minors for as long as he has, that really says something to his character and to his perseverance. And certainly having him on the team, we played together way back when in the Canada Cup for Team Saskatchewan when we were, I think, 15 and 16 or 16 and 17, whatever it is. So we've known each other for a little while, and, you know, we still stay in touch now and then, and certainly if we're playing against each other, try to meet up. And, you know, again, anytime you get to wear that Team Canada jersey and you get to play with some of the greats, you have Justin Morneau there, you know, a guy that's just been an epitome of class for Canada baseball and for baseball in general over his career, and a guy who's won an MVP award, you know, he's kind of done it all. And to get the chance to suit up with guys like that, it's pretty special. It's pretty special.
Right.
I was fortunate that he was there in Minnesota when I got called up. He kind of took me under his wing, and, you know, it was a familiar face and a guy who wanted me to succeed. And again, you couldn't ask for a better ambassador of baseball than a guy like that. He's certainly one of the leaders on that team. And you know, with guys like that, guys really gel together quick. And the chemistry is there from the get-go. And hopefully that'll be an advantage to us going into that tournament.
Yeah, and you discussed earlier how Team Canada kind of helped you draw from that experience and help you in the big leagues, but does recent Pan Am success strike some confidence in this club, especially in a tough pool with the Dominican Republic, the United States, and what are your general thoughts on the team and how they're going to come together? It's a nice mix of young and old. You've got Josh Naylor, obviously Dalton Pompey, and those young guys, and mixing in with the old. So what's kind of your take on the team?
Yeah, I'm excited to play with all those guys. You know, it's one of those things where on paper we don't have as talented of a roster, say the Dominican or the United States. You know, those two teams are loaded. I mean, you're looking at pretty much all-star teams. They've put together really good rosters. I think the one thing that we do have that they don't is, you know, you talked about the previous Pan Am success. Now, this is a little bit different tournament because big leaguers aren't eligible for the Pan Am.
Right.
You know, that's all non-40-man guys. So a lot of the guys in this tournament haven't played in those. So as far as that goes, I don't think that's necessarily that much of an advantage, with the exception of, you know, you're used to the international play where it's, you know, one game means everything instead of a 162-game season where, you know, if you lose on Friday, no big deal, you play Saturday. But you get into these tournaments and you lose Friday and you might not get to play Saturday, so it's a much bigger deal that way. So I think from that, that's kind of the experience part that we can draw on that might help us. As far as how the team looks, you know, you get the young guys in with the old guys, and it's all about showing them how we do things. And, and everyone kind of takes that in pretty well, falls in line pretty quick, and there's a certain culture that has been established there by guys like you said, you know, guys that have been around for a while, Pete Orr and Justin Morneau and guys like that that have played on that team. I mean, Morneau's been, they've both been a part of all four WBC teams. You know, we've got some guys that have been a part of a lot of international experience. You know, I might even have to put myself on that list now. I've been fortunate enough to play for the team for the last 5-6 years. I think in every international competition we've been in, it's over so it's not just going to be me or anything like that. And again, everybody comes together real quick, really nice.
Yeah.
And everybody's there for the same reason. You know, we just want to win. We don't care who does what or who gets the big hit or who gets the big out. We just want to find a way to win.
Perfect, Andrew. And as we take a step back, in your eyes, is there a better time to be a young ball player in the province of Saskatchewan right now? I mean, the province won tournament 12-2 years ago, gold in 2016 at the Canadian Cup, and they earned silver at the 2015 Western Canada Summer Games. And not to mention the youngsters, obviously they're able to watch it and grow up and watch you on TV, also with Dustin Malkin. And so do you think there is a better time to be a young ball player in that province right now?
Well, I mean, I think they've done some great things around here lately. You know, you have a couple academies that have sprouted up. There's one at Regina Martin High School there in Regina. Rob Cherepuschek, like, I visited both these places. He's done a tremendous job over there. They're doing a great job. Guys are getting to play more often. There's the Going Yard in Saskatoon, same kind of idea. A little bit, it's run a little differently, but it's an academy where guys can go play. And certainly that's always kind of been a problem in Saskatchewan, you know, is repetitions. And it's not something that's always been feasible, but there are steps that are being made, and not just in Saskatoon or Regina, but in other places around the province as well where guys are getting more reps, and with that, they're going to get better, and you're certainly seeing the fruit of that already. You know, when you talk about the Tournament 12, you talk about the Canada Cup and things like that, and Saskatchewan's had success there recently. And so, I mean, that's a huge credit to the guys that are in the province, guys like Greg Bronze and Rob Cherepuschek that are just putting in tremendous amounts of time to help mold these future ball players. And you know, it is a really good time. There's a lot of talent in the province at the moment, and they've had a lot of success. So I'm really excited about it. You know, hopefully if I can play some small role in that where, you know, they see me on TV or hear about my story and feel like, you know, they have an opportunity to go there that is possible, you know, I'd certainly be humbled and very appreciative of that. But I certainly think that's a minute role compared to what a lot of people in this province are doing for baseball.
And before I let you go, thank you for coming on the show. There have been recent reports that Major League Baseball will be looking into starting a runner at second base in extra innings to kind of speed up the game. Do you think that would ever crack the big league level? And kind of what's your take on trying to speed up the game?
I'm all for trying to speed up the game. You know, I'm a big fan of pace as a pitcher. I want to get the ball and I want to throw it. You know, it makes everybody, it's more exciting for everybody, whether it's the fans, whether it's the guys playing defense behind you. You know, nobody likes the guy who gets the ball back and takes a minute to throw the next pitch, right? It's just too long. As far as the guy getting on second for extras, I don't see that coming into play anytime soon. I understand why teams might want that, you know, but at the same time, there's some flexibility where they can make some off moves if the bullpen gets tired, right? And that's why those rules are there, too. So personally, for me, I played in Korea where there are ties. You know, if you're still tied, I don't know if it was after 12 or 15 innings, you just end the game. So I'd rather see a guy on second and do that.
Right. Yeah.
At some point, somebody's going to score anyway, so I'm a big fan of the way it is right now.
Awesome, Andrew. Thanks for shedding some light on that. Not only that, obviously, but your journey, Canadian baseball, Saskatchewan baseball. I appreciate you coming on the show, and best of luck next month. Obviously, everyone in Canada is behind you guys, and I'm sure you'll feel the love.